You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about a game from back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for coming back or checking us out for the first time. However you got here, thank you for coming. This week, episode 30, we're going with a game that most of you have probably never heard of, Grand Theft Auto Vice City on everything, the PlayStation 2, the Xbox, fucking everywhere. I played it for the first time, I think, on the Xbox. I remember us owning it on PS2, but I never really got into it till I got a hold of it for my Xbox. I'm not going to talk about it. I'll talk about it. My buddy Andre's here. We're going to talk about it more in the actual podcast. But, like, who didn't play this game growing up back in the day, right? That song, as soon as you hear, like, I cannot hear I Ran So Far, that Flock of Seagulls song, and not think of Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Like, I know my little brother likes that song because of Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Like, everybody, it's Vice City, man. It's fucking legendary. So I'll shut up. I'll get to that with Andre in a couple minutes. You guys are going to enjoy this week's episode, I think. It was a little tricky getting music for this one, but shh, don't say anything. You guys, if you haven't checked us out yet, we have got a website, rememberthegamepodcast.com. The traffic's been good. I post about it there. Blogs and stuff are going up there too. It's neat. You can check it out. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/rememberthegame or on Twitter and Instagram at rememberthegame. Just like remember, but without the R and the E at the front. So, you know, that's cool. Please check us out. We follow everybody back. It'd be cool to talk to you guys there. The traffic for the webs or for the podcast is still good. It's slowing down a little bit as far as the growth goes, which I kind of expected it to eventually. Still we're cruising along, coming in at just under 1,000 downloads a month, which is insane to me. So thank you guys all so much for checking us out. If you're new to the podcast, this is episode 30. We've got 29 old ones. You could go back, just dig through, look for the ones you like, any old downloads you want to throw us that our way is cool. Oh yeah, and sorry about Battletoads last week for anyone that downloaded it early. As proof that I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing, I left the music playing for a big part of the conversation and had to go in and re-edit it and re-upload it. So if you downloaded the original version and the music was playing, my apologies. Please delete that one and just re-download. My buddy Beak pointed out that I'm just milking downloads, and that is totally what I'm doing. So sorry about that. That was on me. My bad. Also, if you like the podcast or hate it, leave us a good review and leave us a comment somewhere. That'd be pretty cool. My buddy left me one on Twitter at SBopre9 threw me a comment. Keep up the good work. It's fun to relive our childhood games we played. Each week it gets better. Which is true. And Sean is one of the guys I used to play video games with when I was a kid. So thanks, buddy. I appreciate you listening. Say hi to everybody for me. And if you guys want to get a comment read on here, just throw me a comment somewhere. Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or fucking iTunes review or YouTube comment. I don't care. Comment on a blog, something. You can tell me it sucks. I'll read that. I don't care. I'm not above reading that kind of stuff. Before we get into this week's episode, something I wanted to touch on. Nintendo, the Wii, the eShop is shutting down today, January 30th, I believe it's done. You can't download games on there anymore. And, it got me thinking, like, I don't have a Wii anymore. I'm sure most people don't have a Wii anymore, but, do you remember when Nintendo originally launched the virtual console and they were adding like two or three games a week? And then some weeks we get like one, some weeks we get like three. You never knew what was coming. It was kind of just, and we all complained about what a shit show it was. And we were like, how can you only give us two games a week? What is this? And now Nintendo's giving us two games a month, three games a month. And it's like, fuck, we would sure like to go back to the Wii virtual console. It was awesome. You know, honestly, I'm putting a pin in this because I want to talk about it as a future episode on the podcast here, looking back at the legacy of the Wii. Because personally, if you don't count Virtual Boy, which nobody does, it's my least favorite Nintendo console of all time, probably by a pretty substantial margin too. I can really only think of three or four games I really liked on it, at least that were exclusive to it. But having said that, it had the virtual console, and that thing was fucking incredible. Like it was the first time I played through Chrono Trigger. It was the first time I played through Final Fantasy VI. We can complain about what they're doing with their online now, but like what we wouldn't remember, there was a time where we fucking hated the virtual console too. And what I wouldn't give to just have all those games available for $5 or $7 to download again. It was great. So rest in peace, Wii Virtual Console. You were awesome. Nintendo, by some chance you listen to this, please just give us the virtual console back or give us more than two games a month on your online service. You've got the most legendary back catalog of games in history at your disposal, and you don't do anything with them, and it drives us fucking crazy. So yeah, that's what's going on for news. Other than that, I'm probably gonna shut up and get to the podcast pretty quick. What I'm playing this week, I went back to the PS4. My buddy Chris lent me his PS4 so I could finally play Spider-Man, which is something I've been sitting on forever. And I'll be honest, the first couple sessions I played, it wasn't really gripping me, and now I'm completely hooked. It's awesome. I love it. Spider-Man is my favorite superhero character. It's my favorite universe, and if you ever played any of the Batman, like Arkham Asylum games or any of those, this is just that, but with Spider-Man. It's pretty awesome. The side quests get a little boring, but the story's incredible, and swinging around the city like him never gets old. It got me thinking about Spider-Man 2 on the original Xbox and stuff. I played the shit out of that game. I want to do an episode on that game for sure. The one that was based on the second movie, which is still the best Spider-Man movie. I don't care what you say. But this new Spider-Man game is pretty rad. So if you've got a PS4 and by some fluke you haven't checked it out, highly recommended, especially if you like Spider-Man. It's pretty awesome. Still plugging through Smash Brothers 2 on my Switch. Still unlocking the last few characters. It's the greatest Smash Brothers game ever made. I don't care. Melee fans can geek out about their game, but you're wrong. So it's awesome. That's what I'm playing. Let me know what you're playing. Put it on our Facebook page and stuff. I try to post on there sometimes, ask what everyone's playing. I want to know. I'm curious what I need to be playing that I'm not. So check it out and do all that stuff. This has not been the best intro I've ever done, but this isn't the best podcast ever done. So that's it. Enough said. I am going to get to this week's game. Like I said off the top, my buddy Andre is back this week. We are talking Grand Theft Auto Vice City. It's available on just about everything now, but originally it launched on the PlayStation 2 on October 29th, 2002. I was out of high school for a year when this game launched. And anyone listen to this, like, that's 17 years ago. I almost said 16, but I guess we're in 2019 now. That's a lot. Like, if that doesn't make you feel fucking old, then I don't know what will. people could argue the original Grand Theft Autos and Grand Theft Auto 3 kind of got the ball rolling. I know technically they did, but I really feel like Vice City was the one where, like, and it really set off the global phenomenon that became the Grand Theft Auto series. This is the one I've played the most. I've never played 5. I only minimally played 4 in San Andreas. I'm not the biggest Grand Theft Auto fan, but I loved jerking around in Grand Theft Auto Vice City. I'm sure everybody else did too. I'll get to the chat with Andre. That's enough. I always do this. I'm just going to get to the talk. I'm rambling here. Cue the music. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you guys enjoy this trip down memory lane. Kick back and relax and hang out with me and Andre as we revisit the glorious world of Grand Theft Auto Vice City on the PS2 and Xbox and everything else. Here you go, guys. Enjoy. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Andre, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm perfect. It's Friday. It's beautiful. Yeah. Actually, it's cold as fuck, but that's okay.
It's actually not that bad out there. Walking in, I didn't have to wear a coat.
Oh, you walked 3 feet. I fucking walked my dog. I was freezing. Okay, so this week we are... I guess this game's been on a few different things, but I'm going to use the PlayStation 2 artwork because that's where it started, and I think that's the system most people think of.
Yeah, that's where I played it.
Right, and so this is... Yeah, me too. And so this is our first check into the PlayStation 2 era.
I get to be the first PlayStation 2 guy.
You're the first PlayStation 2 guy, and we are going to talk Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Such a good game.
Pretty solid game. I don't even remember, like, how old do you think you were when you were playing this game?
This came, what, 2000, 2003 area?
I think so, around there.
Yeah, 15, 16.
Right. I was like late teens, maybe 20, right?
Yeah.
And it, dude, I don't ever, like, I know there are previous Grand Theft Auto games. Did you play any of them before this one?
Okay, so I had played one, which was the, like, the top down, the first two, like, were like the top down
yeah.
one. I played that one. Never played two because that was that London one or whatever. And then I never played three. Yeah. So, because three came out and it was the first 3D version. But
yeah.
I never played it. And this is my first real foray into Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, me too. I didn't even know really that Grand Theft Auto existed before this game. Like,
I thought of it as that stupid you run around top down game, and
yeah.
just, I played it once or twice and was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, right. Like, whereas yeah. Vice City, like, dude, Vice City was a borderline phenomenon. Like, I mean, I think when people think of Grand Theft Auto now, you think of Grand Theft Auto 5 and 4 and all those. And Grand Theft Auto is one of the biggest gaming franchises in the world now.
Easily,
right? But when Vice City came out, it seemed like that was what really... I know they had previous games, but that was the one that really kickstarted the Grand Theft Auto...
I, I think that's what made it kind of the cultural phenomenon. Trust me, it's grown to a cultural phenomenon, but it helped. It was the start of it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was the start of an empire, really. And I mean, anyone listening to this played that game. Everybody I know played that fucking game.
Like me and your brother, the amount of hours we spent just right. playing that game. Like we'd play it together, then we were both had our own files playing it. It was retarded the amount of time we played. Like I still own it. I have it on Steam, but I probably haven't played it in good 3-4 years now.
I'd be willing to. I haven't played it in 15 years, but I'd be willing to bet that it hasn't held up. Like, I just can't imagine with the new games.
Not comparatively, but if you just put yourself into the mindset that it's like, I want to go back and play this classic game.
Yeah.
It's still good, but not to a comparable level even a little bit.
Right. And it's funny because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm looking at my notes here. Like, I have a lot of criticisms of this game. Like, I liked... Like, okay, did you finish it?
Oh, yeah. I finished it at least once. I know that.
I don't even know what the storyline is.
I don't remember, honestly. It was the fact that it was like an open world game.
Right.
Like one of the first kind of open world games.
I can't think of another game as open world as this that I would have played at that point.
Yeah.
Prior to this.
I don't, like, unless you're like talking about PC games.
Which, yeah.
But for console gamers like me and you, at that point, yeah, there wasn't really anything out there at that point.
I can't think of anything. And so, like, to me, like, and I think to a lot of people, like, the sheer enjoyment of this game was, like, to just see how much damage you could do and how many of the police stars could get, right?
Yeah, like, I think the replayability a lot of the time was still to this day. Like, but yes, I know that what they got with the online now, but was just going and just murdering people and killing people over and over again and just seeing how many like stars and if you could get away from like a five star
it was the best
and that was super hard, but it's possible.
Yeah, and I don't know what was so addictive about that, where the fun part was just seeing like how many stars you could get and like stealing a car and just running over as many people as you can and just that to me
just running from the cops and like the stories were good. The thing is it wouldn't have brought you in without a good story.
No.
Simple as that.
No,
but
for sure.
it's all these small things you can do in those games, and it's like, to me, it's one of the first games where it's customizable, like changing clothes, changing. It's like those early games where you didn't have a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really it's really the grandfather of those. I mean, now those games come out every
couple years.
Yeah, it seems like every fucking month there's another giant 200-hour game.
True.
But like when I think of Grand Theft Auto, I kind of compare it to Skyrim in those games, in the sense of like the controls aren't perfect and there's some glitches and things in it, but you're willing to look past a lot of it for the open world fun that comes with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same. It's not nearly as open world and deep as Skyrim, but
just being able to go and steal a plane and then just fly up and then just like pretty much just aim your plane for a building, jump out of it and then watch it crash into a building and you just float to the ground.
Yeah.
And then when you land, you just go about your business. Right. They didn't know you did it.
Right.
It's the best. So like, just so much fun with those games.
Yeah, and like I said, I never beat it. And I vividly remember like session after session where I would turn it on and be like, all right, I'm going to play some story today. Like, I'm going to work on a story today.
Yeah.
And this is one of my first major criticisms about this game. 9 times out of 10, I would fucking fail at whatever the next mission was in the story.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was due to these fucking controls. Like, the gun controls weren't great. And then the fucking let him swim.
Oh my god!
If you touched
water, like if say you're running from them just near the beach and you just mistakenly touch the water, you die.
I'm taking 2 points off when we score this at the end because of that. Like, I understand that that you know it was probably not easy to put swimming controls in it. Like, it's it's their first. I get it. It's learning pains. I understand.
Yeah, it's three in Vice City. It's tough. You're just getting in. It's kind of hard to build the water mode when you're still trying to build an open world.
But, like, then fucking just make barriers where you can't fall in the water. just like, I'm not even saying let them fall in and then restart it that fast or anything, but just literally just like put an invisible wall there.
It's yeah.
You know, because there's no, there is not one mission where you have to be able to touch water. Yeah, I know there's boat missions.
Yeah, but you're, you can't, but you're stuck in the boat the entire, because you literally start in the boat.
Right.
And then when you finish, you it goes away and then you're on land.
So like literally just put invisible walls around the boat, around the platform, like the dock edges.
But you can fall out and die. Which is just retarded. Like, is he a, like, what I think of it, is he like a, is he mentally a child? Because he, like a little child who can't swim? Like, really?
I had it written down, like, in capitals, underlined, let him swim. The controls, honestly, like, outside of some of the driving, the controls as a whole, like, obviously by today's standards, they would be a little shoddy.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But even then.
But, for, but yeah, for, I, like, early 2000s, it's actually good quality.
Yeah, they, well, see, yeah, or it's not that quality. They weren't. Decent it's just quality. That they irritated me. Like, I struggled with transitioning to 3D at overall. Like, I mean, like, I don't like the 3D Zeldas as much. 3D, I hate Mario 64.
Like, yeah, for me, it was, like, I guess playing, because, like, I went from playing, like, I was a Sega kid. So I went from playing on the Sega to playing like the Genesis. I never actually owned a Saturn, which I'm kind of sad about. But
you're not the only one, my friend.
I thought that was a quality system, but that's another talk. But you have, I went, and then I went to PlayStation, and playing games like Final Fantasy and stuff, that helped kind of transition into 3D.
Right.
I think those kind of games help because you get used to playing in a 3D world. And then when you get a game like Grand Theft Auto Vice City, games like that, you're used to the 3D aspect of it.
Right. Well, I don't know.
And wrestling games help too.
Yeah. See, the first 3D game I remember kind of getting the controls of, like really being like, okay, is probably Halo. Like when they initial, because I feel like Halo was one of the first ones to really nail the two joystick. And someone's listening to this and is like, well, Doom on the fucking whatever. But like, that's the game I think of. Like, that's the first time that I really got a handle.
Shooters like that. And like, and then you get, but the thing is with those, you're pretty much just running and shooting and aiming to shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Where in this, in these one, like in Vice City, you're trying to move around and do certain things.
Yeah.
While also trying to line up. Sometimes, like, and there's some missions where you have to be quiet and you got to take that shot out of nowhere. It's a little, and it's a little harder, especially if you get a little bit choppier controls. It is harder.
Yeah, it is. It, like, and that was one of the big frustrations I had with it. And then usually that would end up with me falling in the fucking water. But, like, just on any quest, like, I cannot even, I couldn't even tell you how many times I would set out to play a mission and then give up because I hated the controls and then just go, because where the controls did work, I found. And this is just by memory. Maybe if I tried it now, it wouldn't. But is the driving? And so I would end up just seeing like, fuck this. I'm just gonna go have fun. And I'd steal a car or the motorcycles. I loved snagging a motorcycle.
If any mission or anything I could do to drive a motorcycle, it's still to this day when I play like even GTA 5. If I can use a motorcycle, I will use a motorcycle.
In
like, unless I'm forced to use a car. I use a motorcycle.
Like, it's cooler, and I love the way they handle, and, like, and the turning
you take
and
jumps off, just a random thing, different things in all the games. You just take, you can jump off things and have fun with it.
Like I thought that was the highlight for sure. And that was, I remember that, like, that has to be the first game where I was able to drive a motorcycle. Like, well, outside of, like, Excite
Bike. Like, yeah, I was going to say, like, there's,
you know, but, like an optional one where I was like, oh, wow, look at this.
Yeah, but this was one where you can pick your vehicle, do what you want. Yeah. In a non-racing game environment, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. And just, I remember boggling my mind just how big it was. And, like, by today's standards, it's not, I know I keep saying that. I got to stop saying that. It's not big. But, like, then, like, I'd never played a game like that where you could go through this whole city and basically do anything you want.
And there's multiple. And I think this was the first one that introduced multiple islands. Like,
yeah,
and you were stuck on the first one. Once you got through certain missions, you know, lock the next territory, and then you unlocked a third one. And I love that. Like, it's and because like, you've explored and learned the first part of the world, and then you get in this whole other part, and you get to find all this new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was really cool to me about that game. I loved it.
Yeah,
I love being able to go and like just even like I know with everything 5 has now, but going and exploring the forest areas and all that other stuff, it was so cool.
Yeah, it was. It was just something new. It was like,
oh yeah.
I remember that being like the first game I bought on my PlayStation 2 where I was really like, this is next generation. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, this is.
And it had, to, like, I'll say this, it had, like, the voice acting in this game top notch.
That's that's the next thing I was going to get to was the sound and the theme and stuff like that. You're right. They actually went out and got like legitimate
stars
to be in this
even
game.
In some of the minor roles in this thing, they have stars in there.
I remember reading that Gary Busey was in it.
I didn't see it, but like I literally have the list of people.
Yeah.
So like Tommy Vercetti was done by Ray Liotta, who is a legit star.
Yep.
You have Tom Sizemore from Top Gun fame. He does Sonny Forelli. You have William Fincher does Ken Rosenberg. My favorite one on this list is Luis Guzman is in this game. Like, dude's hilarious. And he does Ricardo Diaz. Then you got Danny Trejo. He does one of the Cubans gang leader. And then Lee Majors is in this.
Wow.
He plays one of the biker gangs. He plays their leader. Like, just those names alone.
This is it's funny because you can look at Grand Theft Auto and the whole empire of the Rockstar now and be like, wow. But, like, look at what they... this is where they started.
In 2002, 2003 area, like, they're getting stars to come in and voice games. It's like, people realize that this is going to be... Is it coming a huge... Like, I went to the Edmonton Comic Expo in this past September.
Yeah.
They had all three of the guys who voiced Grand Theft Auto 5 there.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And they had... And the one dude, Stephen Ogg, had the biggest line because he's been on Walking Dead and all this other stuff. But the other two had good lineups. And that's due to... Like, you can voice in a video game and be a star now.
Sure, yeah. And it feels like this is like... I mean, again, like, to anyone that wasn't playing it back then, I don't think... You understand because we didn't understand how big of a deal this game was going to be then either.
It was just a fun game to play. What it would spawn.
It really was the seed. Like you can argue the first three Grand Theft Autos or whatever, but this was the one that was really the seed that sprouted into the empire. You know, like without them, like without this franchise, I don't know if we would have. I mean, I know it's the same company, but I don't know if we would have the Red Deads. I don't know if we'd have the Witchers. Do you know what I mean? Like because, all those games.
It's the success of Grand Theft Auto to me that. That made Rockstar such the impressive company.
Oh yeah,
they've built everything off the back of Grand Theft Auto. In reality, it's hard to argue that one. You've built everything off of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and it's pretty wild, man. And then like you mentioned, you know what I love about this game more than the voice actors is the soundtrack. So this game is set in like mid 80s Miami.
It's such music. They
capture it. Like I love the style. Even honestly, like when you play it, it almost has this like fuzzy look to it. This kind of dark, fadedy, fuzzy.
Like,
I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, was this cartoon that was on recently? I can't remember it, but it was based in like the 80s, and. Like, they did the same kind of look. Obviously, it's much better graphics.
Sure.
But the same kind of fuzzier, darker look. Because it makes you feel like the 80s. I don't know why everybody thinks the 80s was fuzzy and dark.
Because I say that because of the photos. And I'm like, or the movies, you see something like that from back then. And I'm like, I can't believe things weren't actually dark and fuzzy. But, I don't know if it was an... I have to assume it was an intentional design choice by them to give it that look.
And I think it's also trying... They're trying to capture, like, an 80s... Miami feel.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's almost like playing a movie. Like, it's like playing Scarface. It's like playing a movie set from that era.
They based this off of, like, Scarface, Clarito's Way, and Miami Vice.
Yeah.
They said were three movie influences they used to make this game to give it the feel.
Yeah, I'm a huge Scarface fan, and you can totally see the Scarface influence on it.
But you can see the Miami Vice kind of feel to it, with, like, how... Like, not really, I know he's not a cop, but when him and Sonny are running around doing stuff, you feel that, like, buddy cop kind of getting things done kind of feel.
Yeah.
You really get that.
So the art design of it is awesome. And then the fucking, this is going to be one much like the Tony Hawk one where I'm probably going to try to use music and then hopefully it doesn't get taken down.
So far,
I've been okay with Tony Hawk. Yeah. I love the soundtrack to this game. Because
they had like the Loverboy band or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were called Loverboy in the game, but like there was like a Loverboy feel to it.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, and it's like 80s hair metal, and you have like I love this soundtrack.
I sure hope I'm not wrong, but this is the one that had the commercial with Flock of Seagulls.
Is it?
I'm almost positive it was.
I love that band.
Like everyone thinks that, like, I mean, if you're listening, you remember that commercial where they're showing like clips of the game and then I Ran So Far Away is playing on it.
Yeah, because I Ran So Far Away is in it. But it's just like...
Like to me, that when I hear that song to this day, I think of Vice City.
Oh, like, me too. That was my intro to that song. And then...
Me too.
Just the amount of years me and your brother listened to that song afterwards. Especially once we got our cars at 18 and just driving down the road, blaring that song out the window. Nintendo.
Because it was Vice City.
But it makes you feel that Vice City feel. Yeah. Oh, so good.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
And that's another thing I love about it is how you could flip the radio stations to listen to different songs.
Yeah, because they had like the soft one. Yeah. Then you had the hair metal station.
I thought that was so... I don't know if that was something that had ever existed in another game. I thought that was so ingenious and clever.
Not that I know of.
Right? Like it just... Every time I stole a car, I was flipping through the radio stations to find something good. And they all seemed so real and legitimate, you know? And then you could have this on while you're playing the game, just listening to like... You know, it's like having a soundtrack that you could change anytime you want. Yeah. I thought that was so clever. And so, and not just...
And if like, you don't feel like listening to the hair metal all the time, you can put it on the softer stuff. There's literally talk radio.
I know, right?
Like, yes, if you listen to it for long enough, it repeats.
Yeah, yeah.
But they put it... Like, this thing about this is, it's just one disc, right? This isn't like Final Fantasy or anything that has multiple discs and things like that.
Yeah.
In one disc, just, and you have to listen to it a long time for that stuff to replay.
For sure, yeah.
But, like, just how much audio they had to put in just for the, and I think there was multiple talk radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
There's one with, like, a chick, another one with a couple of dudes. It was, like, think about the amount of time that goes in just to making a fake talk radio in that game.
Right, not knowing if anyone will listen to
and,
it.
Yeah,
you know?
And, like, trust me, I didn't listen to it much, but you put it on, and they say ridiculous, and it's always stuff that has to do with the in-game stuff,
yeah.
But it's always fun to listen to that.
Yeah, it's a very, like I said already, very, very ingenious to do that. All they really could have, if they wanted to, they could have just put the soundtrack in with all these 80s songs and stuff like that, and just had them rotate through. And that could have been the soundtrack, and no one would have complained. But to have a radio station in the cars that you could flip between and really smart, like really, really
clever. I literally just looked at the soundtrack for this game. Like, they have Ozzy Osbourne in that game. They have, like, Ozzy's 80s music. They have Loverboy. They have, yeah, like, you said, Flock of Seagulls in it. Like, they have just, and then they have so much, like, it's so much fun to be able to just turn on whatever you want to feel like listening.
Yeah. To me, like, that was, like... I almost look at Vice City as more of a violent Sims than a game. Because, like I said, the storyline mattered nothing to me. It just, when I wanted to just relax, I would just, especially in that era, a lot of games that I played, I played a lot of sports games in that era. I would just listen to my music. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm the same way now.
Yeah, turn the TV down and listen to my music. But with Vice City, I wouldn't do that because I wanted to listen to the game.
Because the game's music was just that good.
And I would play it like The Sims. I would just log in and just, instead of like starting a career and buying a house, I'd see how many people I could kill. And just like get it out of my system, you know? Because that was, man, to run around with some of the weapons in that game and just kill people that walked by. Was just the funnest thing. And then the cops would show up. They'd steal a car,
the fact that you could take a rocket launcher out and just aim it at a guy and it just blow his head off was phenomenal.
Oh, so fun. And then...
You run away, you hide behind a dumpster somewhere, and then all of a sudden the cops just like, no, we don't want to chase you anymore.
Yeah.
It's the funnest thing in the world.
The first star, too, it was pretty easy to shut it down.
Oh, you can get rid of that in about 10 seconds. But they... If you do it right, you can get rid of 5 stars pretty if you can find the right places to go park.
I don't know if I ever got away from 5 stars.
I've seen it done a couple times by people I know, but it's not a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, okay, and now here's something else that I wanted to talk about with this game is like, again, by today's standards, no big deal, right? But like back then, I had never played a game this violent.
Oh, no.
Not necessarily just the violent, because we had been shooting people since like Contra and stuff. But for the graphic styling of it and what you could do.
Yeah, like you have like you're driving down a road and like literally they have prostitutes in the game. Like it's a common thing and you could get out and beat her to death and take her money.
Yeah.
Maybe they had it in GTA 3. I don't know. I never played it at that point. Right. But like to me, that level of crazy, and then you literally heard people on it was reports on the news, this is too violent, this is too all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like you hear about that stuff and it's like it blows your mind. Like it almost didn't phase us in a way.
No, you know what? Like, because
I think in the era this came out.
That's where I wanted to go with it. Is just like I know there are bad people out there, and I know there are people that do things, and I'm loyal to video games, so I'm gonna defend them. But I'm not willing. Like when this game was big, people were like, "Oh, this game is corrupting our youth," much like Doom. Doom corrupted our youth, and Wolfenstein corrupted our youth, and now Grand Theft Auto is.
That's crazy.
And it's not. It's just a video game.
I can see how they make the argument for Grand Theft Auto because it's more of a real world game,
sure,
compared to like Doom and those other ones. To me, that's crazy.
Absolutely,
you don't have wolves and.
I get why it was controversial at the time.
Yeah, but
it wasn't that bad. It just wasn't like I had
to, compared to some of the movies that would come out and like just some of the in certain movies.
Sure,
it's kind of nuts.
And like I don't know. I'll tell you. Like I said, I was a young adult when this game came out. Like I was over 18.
I think I was 15 or 16 somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So I played it, you know, like as an adult. But like no, I like I'm sure. Yeah. Like my nephew, if my nephew was 6 at the time and wanted to play Vice City, I probably would have said no.
Yeah. Same here.
But like you know what? That's not on the video game, and I mean, and that applies right up to today when it comes to anything with society. And this isn't going to become a political rant.
Yeah.
But like that's on you guys. That's on the fucking parents. Like, you know what? If you don't want your kid to play Vice City, how will you pay attention to what your fucking kid is playing?
Don't buy him Vice City. Yeah. Or check on your kid when they're playing a video game.
Go buy Spyro. Let them play fucking Spyro, which is fun too.
Yes, such a good game.
Yeah. But like, I just, that bothered me then and it bothers me now. But this was really, the only other game I can think of prior to Vice City that was really an uproar when it came to parents and what it was, I remember some people being upset about Doom.
Yeah,
and stuff like that,
and there's been controversies ever since, like in any game,
sure,
like any kind of game that does violence. Like there are probably people that complained about Halo when it came out,
sure,
probably anything, but I think this one picked up such a degree because of the realism. It was more of a realistic style game.
That is what it is, and I don't think there'd ever been a game that captured the mainstream the way this thing did, you know,
other than like Halo, but Halo was in a different manner.
Like this game just blew. And I think part of the reason, and I forgot to bring this up earlier. I think part of the reason the game blew up as it did was because the PS2 was so big. Like everybody owned the PS2. And I know eventually it went to Xbox and with everything, but like PS2 was like everybody owned a PlayStation 2.
Loyalist right here.
Cause it was like, I know myself and I'm sure a lot of people were like this. It was like, this thing plays DVDs and video games. I need a DVD player too.
Yep.
So I'll buy it. It was so ingenious to put a DVD player.
Oh
in
yeah.
It, you know?
Because it was nice. Cause it just, you can watch your movies. You don't need it. Like I have friends that still use their PS2 as a DVD player and things like that. Like they still, cause it's just like, they don't play the games anymore, but it's still there. So you might as well use it.
Right.
Like,
oh yeah.
Especially now. Cause in like, we got friends like, you know, they don't own the nicest TVs. You plug it in your PS2. It still looks good.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I just Googled it cause I wanted to be sure before I set it on here and look like an idiot, but it is indeed the greatest selling console of all time. The PlayStation 2.
Doesn't surprise
Which,
me.
No, me neither. Everybody owned it. Well, and this was like,
after success, like I listened to a couple different podcasts, like Business Wars talked about Nintendo versus PlayStation's war and how much PlayStation sold.
Oh, PlayStation murdered.
Just to imagine what PlayStation 2, the next gen of what, the creation of PlayStation does, I'm not surprised.
Well, when they launched I don't remember who launched first and second. It doesn't matter really. It's irrelevant. But the PlayStation 2 went up against the original Xbox and the GameCube.
Yeah,
and I mean, I guess you could argue the Dreamcast, but the Dreamcast
that thing,
the Dreamcast,
Sega was
went
dead
over the
before
top
they even put,
yeah,
put
the Dreamcast was gone fast. But if you look at those three, I mean, I was loyal to Nintendo. I owned all three. I was loyal to Nintendo because I am a Nintendo
fanboy.
Admittedly, 100%. But that said, like the PlayStation 2 was the, like, I feel like that was when Sony, I mean, the PlayStation did well. The PlayStation kicked Nintendo 64's ass.
Oh, very much so.
But the PlayStation 2 was when Sony was like, this is our yard now. And then, I mean,
But then Microsoft just walks into the ring with their system.
But. And the PS2 crushed the Xbox. But then the Xbox 360, like, Sony fucked up with the PS3. Because they were so confident after the PS2.
Yeah.
And they almost fucked themselves royally.
They lucked out into the fact that they got Blu-ray and they got the Blu-ray contract versus Microsoft got HD. They lucked out that way. I think that's why it was in the end, the more successful console.
Sure, but it took them a long time,
It took them a long time, yeah.
When they launched the PS3, I think it was $700. And they were like, it was something insane, $600 or $700. So they were like, we can do it. And then Xbox launched the 360. And I know I was one of many, many people that was loyal to the PS2 that flipped to Microsoft. And the Xbox 360 is in my three favorite systems of all time.
I'll admit I've never owned an Xbox machine, any of them.
I love it. Well, that was due to
lack of funds, and I had already invested in a PlayStation 3.
Sure,
I already, like, it's just habit at this point.
Well, and like, if you're wondering why I went down this road, it's because we haven't talked PS2 before. And the reason I wanted to say that is because, like, when I think of the PlayStation 2, I know there's a lot of great games on it, but when I think of the PlayStation 2, the first game that jumps out in my mind is Vice City.
It's Grand Theft Auto. That, and then to me, the wrestling games, because that's another conversation. But those are the games that really stick out for me. Like, I'm trying to think back, maybe San Andreas, but was that even PS2?
Yeah, I think so.
But, like, you think about it. Those are the games that stick out to me the most. And then the Tony Hawk games. Those are the ones that probably stick out to most of me because those are the ones that influenced me the most.
Yeah. But this one was just really...
It was everything.
I didn't really realize it till you and I got talking about it, but this really is the kickoff point to a complete and total empire that they've formed. Now, like I said, I know they had previous games, but Vice City was when they took it to the next level.
This is a cultural, like, this cultural shift for Rockstar, really.
Yeah, and to think now that there's one company making the Grand Theft Auto games and the Red Dead Redemption games, and just sitting back and counting their money.
And everything else they put out over the years, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's Vice City is like, I mean... It's an opinion piece. Maybe I'll do an episode on this someday. But if you were to talk about, like, the 10 most influential video games of all time, Vice City would be a candidate. I mean, a Grand Theft Auto game would be on there.
Yeah.
And to me, if you were going to put a Grand Theft Auto game on there, it'd be Vice City.
Yeah, because, you don't get to Grand Theft Auto 5. Like, yes, Grand Theft Auto 5 is something, like, a beast we've never seen before. But you don't get to that without Vice City.
No, exclude the previous Grand Theft Autos, because I don't care what you say. None of them were nearly the size of Vice City as far as the magnitude of popularity. Vice City was to, like, Grand Theft Auto 5, what, like, Super Mario Bros. Is to, like, Mario 64 or whatever you want to say.
Yeah,
like,
very much
you needed that to get to the rest, so...
Oh, yeah, you need that to get to everything Rockstar has done, like...
And I know I already ranted about how I don't care about the story, but Ken Rosenberg is the best.
Oh, very much so. I fucking love him. One of the cool things that I never realized this until later on when I played Grand Theft Auto 3 was the fact that the guy, the main character, I can't remember his name right now, from Grand Theft Auto 3 appears in Vice City.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
He shows up at some... I can't remember. He's a background character, but he's there. I think it's some race, or I don't remember. I can't remember. But he's in the background somewhere.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then
they
do that throughout a few, like, those earlier games.
Yeah.
They have old characters show up. Like, I know Ken Rosenberg, he shows up in San Andreas. He's a character that's used a few times. Like, not you, but you know what I mean? You interact with this character a few times in San Andreas. So. Right. For a game to push characters in, have characters effect into another game is kind of huge.
Absolutely, yeah, man.
Yeah.
I just brought up their sales numbers now for Grand Theft Auto. So the original one sold 3 million, and then the second one sold 2 million. And then Grand Theft Auto 3 sold 14.5 million.
Which is pretty huge.
And then Vice City was 17.5. So I know some people are going to say Grand Theft Auto 3 was really the kickoff point, not Vice City. But I just... For some people, it is.
Sure. Yes. For me, it was Vice City.
No, for most people that I think of, like, I just don't remember... I don't remember Grand Theft Auto 3 being the phenomenon that Vice City was.
I really don't at all. Like, I don't... Because I don't even remember hearing about it when it came out because, like... Maybe this is for a fact that I didn't get I got a PlayStation 2 later than, like, I didn't get it when it first came out. I got it a little bit later on, but maybe that affected it. Cause I think it's probably one of the, that's gotta be Grand Theft Auto. It's gonna be one of the early games for PlayStation 2.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it, and just like just I don't the commercial. Like I said, I'm gonna put that commercial in this. I'm going to edit find it and put it in. That's what I think of is Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Oh, definitely.
As opposed to they sold 17.5 million, and then Grand Theft Auto 4 sold 25 million, San Andreas 21. And then Grand Theft Auto 5, 70 million. I think it might be the greatest selling game.
Well,
70
million plus, all you got to think, I've sold my game since because I don't play, I stopped playing at 5.
Sure.
But you got to think, it sold 70 million, but then what is sold on top of it all from the DLCs, you buy the shark cards. Like, that's a phenomenon.
I've never played it, honestly.
Really?
No, I've never played it. I have to play it.
Your brother was obsessed with it at one point.
Put it on Switch. Come on, guys. Okay, I got to get a PS4 again. Okay, we got to wrap this thing up. We got lots more podcasts to do. Yeah. Taking everything we just talked about into mind, Andre, what would you give Grand Theft Auto Vice City on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'll give it an 8.
All right. I'm gonna go 7. No, you know what? I guess I have to go 6.
Because you said you're
taking
points.
Because I'm
taking
points off too. So I'm going to give it a 6. It's a fine game. I just honestly like
the I don't have the hate on the controls like you do. So I'm going to give it an 8.
The Grand Theft Auto games have never really been my jam, but this is the one that got the most time on mine. It was just fun.
Oh yeah.
And I ran so far away. fuck yeah.
Still to this day one of my favorite songs.
Good stuff. Thanks, buddy.
Always happy to be here.
That is going to do it for this week's episode. You guys, thank you so much for listening, downloading. Andre, thank you for coming over and talking Vice City with me. I hope you guys enjoyed that one. I know that's just one of those games that everyone saw pop up, was like, oh, I fucking remember that game, which is what I want out of this podcast. You guys, really, thank you. I know I say it 100 times an episode, but our numbers are going up, and I'm really excited to see where this thing goes, and I can't thank you all enough for listening. If you haven't checked us out yet, we have a website, rememberthegamepodcast.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at rememberthegame, and on Facebook at facebook.com/rememberthegame. Throw me your comments, throw me your reviews, your suggestions. I'll read them on here. I record these things 10 or 12 episodes kind of at a time with a few guests, and I'm going to get another session going. So, I got a whole bunch of exciting episodes to be recorded here in the next month. And, I hope you guys just continue to not hate my podcast. Thanks for listening. I really do appreciate it, you guys. And I will talk to you again in 7 days. Take it easy. Cheers.